Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Hi there, welcome along to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington. I hope you are keeping well and staying nice and safe. I'm joined by David Jennings and Paddy Power's James Ryan. And believe it or not, we do have some racing this week. It's not what we were expecting, but the show goes on in Ireland, and ITV4 are bringing us five races from the unlikely location of Turles. That's the correct pronunciation, DJ, isn't it?
Yeah, T-U-R-L-A-S. That's how it's pronounced.
Where is Turles, DJ?
It's in County Tipperary.
Okay, excellent. So we've got five races there, including some really decent graded action. And on Sunday, it is the, I've forgotten what national it is.
Ulster.
It's the Ulster National at Downpatrick. There's also some familiar faces in action down under at Rosehill, and James is our man with his finger on the international pulse. So he will be taking you through the best bets there. And we do need, although it's about 360 days away, to give you our thoughts on the early bird value for the 2021 Cheltenham Festival. Right then, boys, let's get stuck in to the first of our five ITV4 races at Turles on Saturday. It's the Adair Manor Opportunity Maiden Hurdle. I don't think we've got prices on this one yet, James. I think that it's Polites and Fakira who are going to be dominating the market. DJ, what have you got for us? Do you fancy anything here?
Yeah, I think the favourite's going to be very short here, Bruce. Fakira for Gordon Elliott and Sean O'Keefe. I think the thing about Fakira, a lot of punters will look at Fakira and say, do you know what? He's been second on his last few starts. Maybe we'll take him on. But in the grand scheme of things, he's been second to some decent horses. Like, getting beaten by John Snow is decent form. John Snow was form tied in with some good horses. And the time before it, he was second to Entucas. And Entucas, as we saw just before Cheltenham on the Sunday, ran really well in a listed race at Naas. So I think that form is quite strong. I think he's able to run to a rating of the high 120s, possibly 130. And that's going to be more than good enough to win this. He'll be odds on, but I think he'll win.
Well, you say he'll be odds on. He's actually odds against with one of Paddy Power's rival firms, and he's not even fab, so that'll please you, won't it?
Wow. Well, that won't last long.
Okay, fair enough. James, what's your view of this one?
Yeah, I'd be in the opposite boat, I think, to GJ here. I'd be going with Lorna Fowler's mare. She's having a brilliant season as well, from what, such a small string, only having the, you know, handful of horses and having two mares win bumpers. You go back and look at her form, like, she's absolute belting form here. She won her bumper here in Turles last time out. Now, she didn't beat a whole lot, but she won it as impressively as she could. On her previous start, she ran really well in the Grade 2 mares, bumper behind Darling Daughter, who was a little bit disappointing in Chalmouth, but like, they crawled that day, and then she was really staying on at the finish, so you wouldn't have any issues with the soft ground here. Like, go back and look at her first start, like in the Punch Tent bumper, in her first start of her life, she was third of 17 behind Longhouse Poet, who's obviously rated 146, and then Monkfish, who went and won the Albert Bartlett. So it's just absolutely cracking form. I can see her going off odds on here. And I'm really delighted that Gordon has his lad in it, because it kind of just gives a bit of shape to the race. And I just think, you know, she could be a, you know, low or in the mid 130s anyway. And I just think she'd be really, really hard to beat here.
James is doing that thing that so many racing people do, where they talk about so-and-so's mare or Gordon's thing or Willie's thing. They do actually have names, these horses, James. And your one is called Polites. Yes. Okay, right then. That's 140 done and dusted. So we've got prices from Paddy Power on the 210, which is now known as the Bet Victor Hurdle. And it's over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. Take us through a show, James, and then tell us who you fancy.
Yeah, Mary Frances is our 3-1 favourite, followed by Carl DeGrasse, 130, Jets 5-1, Mohina 5-1, Brace Yourself 6-1, Cartwright 7s and 10-1 bar. It's a pretty competitive field, this. It's a tricky little race. I'm going for Jets. I'm just going to give him another chance. Like, he got beaten by Charlie Parks the last day. Charlie Parks kind of won it pretty easy in the end, but Jets, like, he really kind of had a strong pace going the whole way. He's been running in graded races all year. This, again, is another big step down, similar to the last day. I just think he's going to be competitive. He'll be there or thereabouts. And a 5-1, he's a pretty decent each-way price.
David, who's your selection?
I'm going to go for Brace Yourself here, Bruce, for Noel Mead. Noel Mead's team are actually coming back into a little bit of form. He could have easily had a treble at Navan last Saturday. He was very, very unlucky. Like, Six Shooter looked like it was going to win at the last. And Harvest Bow possibly would have won, only for he stumbled after the last. He also won the bumper, and 2A Per Me ran well in the pretense final at Cheltenham. So did Snow Falcon for a long way. So I think they're actually, after being out of form, I think they're coming back into form. And I think with Brace Yourself, you've got a horse here who they think could really be a graded staying chaser. Things didn't go to plan this season. I thought he ran really well behind Carefully Selected earlier on in the season. But like his last run was in the Grade 2 Boyne Hurdle at Navan. That was a much stronger race than this. And he just made a few mistakes up the home straight. He was banged there at the second last. This is weaker. And I think 7-1 is a little bit of value.
2:40 next at Thurles. It's the Bet Victor Handicap Hurdle. Same distance, just a shade over 2 miles and six. No prices. But who is the selection? DJ.
This is tough. This is the toughest race of the weekend. The one I side him with here is Do Hallow Paddy for William Cronin. Like, these horses are moderate, and that's been kind to them. But, you know, this fella, he's a 93-rated chaser. He's only rated 86 over hurdles. And, you know, he was sent off favourite for a handicap chase at Navan that was far more competitive than this. Like, there was decent horse in Ask Mary as Frank the Form since. Now, he didn't jump well enough to get himself into contention, but he started 4-1 favourite in a much stronger race. He's back over hurdles now. Like, the top weight in this race is Gulan Jesse, who was second, dead heated for second, in a really, really desperate race at Fairy House. It's very weak, and I just think Do Hallow Paddy, if he brings that chasing form back over hurdles, I think he'd be there, thereabouts, each way proposition.
James, who are you going to go for?
And we're 5 places here as well, so that each way probably will come in handy. This is as DJ said, this is a pretty bad one. I'd get one to one of the lads who's the real Irish form aficionado and work to give me something for this. And he kind of went for Memory of Youth. Shaped well both the handicap hurdle starts, and he kept on real well in Clonmel the last day, despite never going well in what was absolutely desperate ground that day. The ground tomorrow should be a better surface, even though it's still soft. We wouldn't be shocked at all if there was money kind of knocking around for this tomorrow, and it's kind of one that's still kind of a little bit unexposed, and this is really not a good race at all. So if you have anything that's still slightly unexposed, it could go closer.
Okay, the fourth of the ITV4 races is the 3:10. It's the Pierce Maloney Memorial Novice Chase, a Grade 3, and we've got some prices, James, haven't we?
We do indeed. Sizing Potsy on 0:10 are joint favourites at 5-2. Dun Vegan is 11-2. Capuchin Mix is 7-1. Cut the Mustard 9-1. Dallas Depicton also 9-1.
You got a strong view here, James?
Again, it's a very competitive race, and we're also money back special here on the second, third, or fourth. So if your horse comes second, third, or fourth, you'll get a tenner back, which is great, because it is such a competitive race. But I'm kind of going to go for Sizing Potsy here. I know he's given a bit of weight away to the rest of the field, but the word in Sizing Potsy for the last year is that he's a lot better than what he's been shown on the track, and Connections were really disappointed with him over hurdles. He just seems to have taken to his fences really well. In his last two starts, he's been nearly foot perfect. Obviously, he unseated his rider the first day over fences. He well and truly put Cut the Mustard in her place on his last start. He's just jumping real well. And this little step up and trip as well, an extra 2 furlongs, I think will only bring out better in him. And I can see him, you know, even becoming a 3-miler within time as well. And he'd be one I'd be quite excited about, you know, not even for these spring festivals, but come next year as well, even on heavier ground. In the winter time, I can see him kind of knocking out a good few of those races next year. But I think he'll give his run for his money here anyway.
Lovely. And to reiterate what James said, that offer, a £10 or €10 bet on this race. If your horse finishes second, third or fourth, you get the money back. That is at paddypower.com, racingpost.com and the Racing Post app. DJ, who are you going to go for here?
Hi, Bruce. Well, obviously, we knew racing was going to be not happen a lot this week. And obviously, with Thurles and this race, I said, right, I'm going to put real effort into this race because it's the best race of the weekend. It's possibly going to be the best race we'll get in 2 weeks. And I really strongly fancy a horse here called Dunvegan for Pat Fahey and Brian Cooper. A couple of things with Dunvegan is I think he has to go right-handed. He's won twice at Fairy House and he's won once at Punchestown. Now, he was 2¾ lengths behind 0:10 at Nace last time. 0:10 is 11-4. Dunvegan is 6-1. That day, Dunvegan started 130. 0:10 was 11-2. And it was a funny sort of race because Cashback around the Arkle went way off clear and 0:10 tracked him. And Dunvegan never got into the race at all. And the fact that he was only beaten 2¾ lengths with Jack Kennedy basically giving up and riding him hands and heels, that was over 2 miles. This is 2 mile 2. Ground is absolutely ideal for him. He's rated 140 already. And I think this race is just ideal for him. He's missed Cheltenham. He was supposed to run the race at Punchestown that was rescheduled and he had a stone bruise. But to me, 2 mile 2, Thurles on this ground is exactly what Dunvegan wants. Pat Fahey had a winner at Navan last Saturday with Castle Grace Paddy as well. And I think 6-1, I think that's a huge price. I think he's going to be very hard to beat.
Excellent. Thank you, DJ. DJ, by the way, was there much opposition to the HRI announcement that racing was going to continue, or did everyone pretty much applaud it over there?
Look, everybody in racing obviously applauded it, and for us, it's terrific. And everybody involved in the industry, it's terrific, and they're giving it a go. I can see both sides. I really can. The optics of it probably aren't the best when
oh,
life
don't
is such...
use that. Don't use that phrase, DJ. That's a horrible phrase, the optics. Oh, so...
I suppose people's lives at the minute are really, really tough, and you see racing going on in the background. If they can prove that it can be done, and it can be done safely, and everything, like, from what I've heard, and from talking to people, Justin O'Hanlon has been at a good few meetings for us. It's run with military precision. The rules are really strict. I spoke to Mark Enright, who had ridden in Dundalk last Friday night. And he said he was sitting in the weigh room, you know, whatever, 25 minutes before his race, like getting ready to go. And he was kicked out, sent back to his car. And that was the very start of it. So you can imagine what it's like now. I'd imagine it is extremely strict and they know what's at stake here. So fingers crossed it keeps going, but I can certainly see both sides.
And James, I mean, just looking at the turnover on some of the foreign racing and the greyhound racing that we've done on our app, I think there's a real appetite for people to have a bet, isn't there? So these meetings are certainly, we've got Dundalk this afternoon as well, these meetings are certainly meeting, there's an appetite for them among punters, isn't there?
Yeah, definitely. And we're putting up a lot of extra content, you know, as regards tipping content and everything like that, giving the customer kind of an awareness of what the horses are and a bit of form lines as well, especially with the stuff in America. Like, a lot of the racing in America is still going on. That's kind of going on at state-by-state level. Some of them are cancelling and then it's coming back. And then we'd also have a bit of content from Turkey and Japan coming up soon. And, you know, we're getting some content on site to kind of tell people about the horses that are actually running, not necessarily just the betting product, but there's actually information available there for, you know, similar to what there would be if it was UK and Irish racing, you know, tips and everything. And we've guys in Melbourne studying all that form. We've guys up here studying the form now. It's a really kind of interesting time, even looking at from different angles and different jurisdictions that are actually on. But we have it all up on our website. You can see what countries are there and available, and there's a lot of betting propositions here at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, as always, even if you're stuck at home, you're self-isolating, or you're working from home and, you know, you've got this urge to have a bet, do please remember to bet responsibly and try and bet on things that you feel like you've got a bit of a clue about, rather than just having a guess. The final race on ITV4 on Saturday is the 3:40 at Tullis. It's the Duggan Veterinary Handicap Chase. Looks a tricky affair. DJ, have you cracked it?
I don't know. The one that I've come down in is At Your Ease for Arthur Moore and Donna Myler. It's funny, it ran at Thurles last time, the week before Cheltenham, and traded quite short and running that day because the favourite ran a shocker in the same colours. I've always thought this horse was better than his mark. He's quite lightly raced. He's only had 5 starts over fences, only had 4 over hurdles. He started relatively short prices for a lot of his career. Like, even when he was pulled up at Fairy House last year, he started 6-4 favourite. When he won his hurdle race, his maiden hurdle, he was 6-4 favourite as well. So he's obviously held in decent regard. Look, Arthur Moore doesn't have the horses he once did, that he used to have. But I just thought the way he travelled after such a long break at Thurles last time, when I watched that race, I said, wherever Arthur Ease turns up next, I'm going to be on him. Now, this is a stronger race, but he does jump well. He can be quite keen. So if he does settle and gets into rhythm under Donna Myler, he'd be the one that I think is more scope for improvement. But I'd like to see a bit of money for him in the market.
And Jack, who do you fancy? Sorry. And James, who do you fancy?
Yeah, again, this is a very competitive race. Even for this race type, like, there's a lot of horses here that probably have a bit of a chance. Hash Brown is slightly interesting. He's down to a decent mark off 1-1-4. He's won off 1-2-2 in the past, and he showed a little bit of spark last time out. Kind of caught the eye for a long time over this course last time out, and kind of getting tired then from the last fence home. So just this step down and trip, I wouldn't be shocked if he kind of got involved, and he's probably going to be a big price being JP's second string. But yeah, give him half a chance in this fairly competitive heat.
Okay. I thought with Hash Brown, if he was at his best, he'd have these for breakfast.
That is horrific. If I said that, I'd be thrown off.
No, I'd laugh. That's, it's a great joke. right then, chaps, if you're only having one bet at Thurles on Saturday, who would you go for? James, will go with you first.
Yeah, it'd have to be Politis in the 1:40 in the maiden hurdle.
And TJ, who's your Saturday nap?
Oh, definitely Dunvegan in the 3:10, Bruce.
Plenty more great wisdom from the guys next.
So, does an each-way bet mean that my horse has to do part of the race in reverse?
Everyone loves a newbie. That's why Paddy Power Games are giving all new customers 60 free spins on daily jackpot games. New Paddy Power Games customers only. One per customer. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings and Paddy Power's James Ryan. We've looked at the Thurles races on Saturday afternoon. James, over to you because you are our international guru and at Rosehill Gardens in Sydney in the wee small hours of Sunday morning. There's some really excellent racing, culminating with the Golden Slipper, which is a £1 million 2-year-old race over 6 furlongs. I don't think James is bold enough to have a go at that. But elsewhere on the card, there's some familiar faces from Europe, not least, of course, the brilliant Adabe, who runs in the Ranvet Stakes, worth a cool 212,000 Aussie dollars. No, that's pounds, that is. So it's well worth going down there. James, what have you got by way of prices and also your own fancies?
Yeah, so we have everything priced here in the Rosehill Hill card. And just even for people to go and find it on our website, it's in the horse racing tab. And you scroll down to the meetings tab. And it's under Australia and Rosehill. And then it's the time of the race that each of them are on. So, for example, the 210 in Rosehill, Young Rascal is running it. And he's currently our second favourite at 9-2, which I think is a bit of a cracking price. You know, when we consider what he's done in England, the favourite for this race is Mugatu, who was with David Simcock there and only has just come down to Australia. And he was rated 87 there in the UK. Like, Young Rascal would have eaten him for breakfast back home. And now he's kind of progressing. And obviously, this is his first start down here in Australia. And Tom Arcon has been riding out of his skin down there, really, really getting a hold of all the tracks, I think. And he has a bit of soft ground form. It's going to be soft here in Australia and this weekend as well. So you're kind of looking for that bit of an angle. Of course, Raheen House is in here for some people as well. May know him at 25-1, of course, next Brian Meetinghorse and William Haggis. He's down now with Australian connections. But again, very, very interesting race, that one. Then we go on to the 3:25 in the morning for all the early larks. Adabe is our 13-10 favourite here. Again, I think it'll be very, very hard to beat. Even talking to some of our Australian colleagues down below, they don't think there's a whole lot of strength and depth in this race from an Australian point of view. Again, Tom has taken the ride. He loved the soft ground out there. Of course, they kind of get lucky that they're bringing him down here and getting that soft ground. And just on a side note, Tom Arcand, you know, we were kind of thinking that he's a great chance in the Jockey Championship this year. I think we kind of went through that market the other day and we're 5-1 and we were looking at other firms and everyone's 16s and 14s out there. So I wouldn't be shocked or I wouldn't be, you know, putting people off having a few quid on him. It'll kind of a bet for the year following him. Then obviously the Golden Slipper then later on in the morning at the 5:30. Farnan is the favourite there. And after talking to the guys down in Australia, obviously he's a bad enough draw, drawn 14-14, but they think he could be a real superstar for Phoenix Thoroughbreds. Obviously they're not in the greatest place in the news, but he's won his two graded races down there, real handy, and they think he could be a bit of a superstar for Gay Waterhouse, of course, one of the most legendary trainers down in Australia, following on from her father, who was a very famous bookmaker down there as well. But a really, really interesting card if anyone's interested in that overnight international activity.
Yeah, I suppose interesting stuff there, James, about Tom Marcon and the Jockeys Championship. The only trouble, of course, is we don't know when the season will start. I mean, it could last 5 weeks if the worst comes to the worst. You know, we just have to wait and see. But it's interesting that Paddy Power is so much shorter. I mean, Marcon has really made a name for himself down under this winter, and it will be fascinating to see how he goes when racing resumes, fingers crossed, as quickly as possible. Right, let's move on to the highlight of Sunday in Ireland. It's the 3:10 at Downpatrick, and it's the Ulster National. And I think, James, to take us through the betting, I think Willie Mullins as the favourite. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah, If You Catch Me Now is 9-2. Sheb de Carvinio is 6-1. Gundigger, 8-1. Jimmel, 8-1. Capicurry, Zach, 10-1 and 12-1 back.
DJ, can anyone break the Mullins Elliott stranglehold here?
They've certainly got big chances here, Bruce. Sheb de Carvinio ran really well in the Leinster National at Naas on the Sunday before Cheltenham. And if you catch me now, it's a case of it's taken a while for the promise to actually shine through, and it finally got the job done in that Grand National trying at Punchestown last time. Only got up right on the line, but you just imagine with If You Catch Me Now. Like, she's only a 7-year-old mare, so there should be more improvement to come. I do think she's the most likely winner, but I think she's going to be underpriced here. I think she is vulnerable, even though I don't think she's the most likely winner. And the one that I'm going to chance is actually the top weight, the Red Menace. Again, for Noel Mead, who I think it could be worth just taking a chance on Noel Meade's horses all weekend, because I think they're coming back into form. They've been freshened up and they're coming back into form. They really are. And I think with the Red Menace, he won his beginner's chase at Downpatrick, and anybody that watches Downpatrick will know that it's a very unique track. A lot of horses don't handle it. Like, the run from the third last to the second last is just like that and then like that. It's like a side of a mountain. It's a really interesting track to watch racing. But I think with the Red Menace, he's been freshened up. I thought when he won at Downpatrick last summer, I thought he was a chaser to follow. He's got a good strike rate as well. Like, he's won 5 of the 17 starts. And his last run was back in November in the Cork National. And do you know what? He actually ran a little bit better there than his finishing position to the Jets. He only started 7-1 for that, and that was a stronger race. He just got kind of a bit tired turning for home. But he's been freshened up. Owen Walsh, who's a £7 claimer going places, might have won the Martin Pipe and Column of Fire if he didn't fall at the last. And I think the Red Menace is interesting here.
Okay, Red Menace for DJ. Who for you, James?
Yeah, I've kind of been following in this horse for a little while, which is never probably a great thing, but he's off 1-3-1 general principle for Gordon Elliott. When he ran at Leopardstown, he was pulled up, but he ran a lot well for a long way, and I've kind of gone in at him every stage since, and he's been fourth in his last two starts. Much, much improved runnings. And I think Sean O'Keefe is an absolute belter of a jockey, taking kind of not a free £5 off, because obviously there's still conditionals, but I just think he's very good value for his claim. I just think he could be consistent. Again, he's 12-1. I wouldn't be shocked if he's bigger on the day. But yeah, I just think he's going to be consistent and will hopefully be thereabouts come the finish.
I saw him in the Leinster National, and he must have been fairly short in money, because he looked turning in as strong as anything, didn't he?
Yeah, he was just travelling there real well, and he's kind of that kind of horse that, you know, with the blinkers on him, he can travel real well. Even at Leopardstown that day when he was pulled up, he was travelling really, really well, but he was going 5 or 6 wide the whole way. But he's one of those horses that can kind of catch the eye, and you think he's probably going well, he can kind of empty. But I just think, you know, he definitely stays this kind of trip. Give him every chance.
DJ, anything else on the Sunday Downpatrick card for us?
Yeah, I'm sticking with my Noel Meade team of the weekend, Bruce, because if he has a bad weekend, I'm certainly going to have a bad weekend. In the 210, it's the WKD rated hurdle. Have you ever had a bit of WKD?
No, that's one of those drinks that you did, one of those sort of bright coloured Alco pops that you youngsters drink, isn't it?
Yeah, very sugary, very sugary. They actually sponsored that Grade 2 hurdle at Down Royal as well earlier on in the season, that Melon one. I like Momus in that 210 for Noel Meade and Owen Walsh. Just £7 claim. It's not going to last too long because he's a good kid. And I think with Momus, it was just beaten at Down Royal last time in January. It was only just beaten on the line by a nose. Looked like it was up. It was beaten by Opposites Attract of Dermot McLaughlin's. And Opposites Attract has ran well since in better company. Momus is rated identically to The Very Man, who's likely to be favoured here. They're both rated 125. But I think when you factor in Owen Walsh's claim, that gives Momus a big, big chance here. So it's a Noel Meade weekend for me. So Momus here.
James, you'll have drunk your fair share of WKD down the years, I suppose, wouldn't you? What else do you like at Downpatrick?
Yeah, just even on that race. So I don't particularly like anything in that race. But in the 210, we have a money-back offer again if you're second, third and fourth for one of the DJ selections there in Momo. So that'll be an interesting kind of extra offer that we have if you're going to follow him in there. But the bumper is an absolute belter here. The 440, I think it's the race the whole weekend. Ballyadam is back out. Now, this lad was the talk of the town all over the winter period. He was backed into the second favourite for the champion bumper before we'd even seen him behind Appreciated. This is from January onwards. We were getting asked about him to put up markets for the 2021 Supreme before this year's festival had even come about. But he had a lovely education on his debut in what was absolutely terrible ground. And obviously Jamie Codd's back on him today. And the fact he's gone up to Downpatrick, obviously they probably just want to get a run into him with the hope that, you know, in case racing kind of does kind of go. But it's an absolute belt of a race. And we also look at the newcomer from Henry de Bromhead with Patrick Mullins taking the ride, which is interesting in itself. But he cost $220,000 at the Tats Cheltenham November sale. I just think it's the highlight of the weekend, you know, getting to probably see this horse. Like, if I was allowed to go to the meeting, it's probably the one time that I'd actually go up to Downpatrick to see these two horses. Like, I'd say it's going to be an absolute belt of a race. And if it's the one race of the weekend that I'd just be getting people to watch where they can see a future star, this is the race. Like, Ballyadam could be anything, really.
And just to pick up on James's point there, the horse that Ballyadam was, he was third to Julie Stowaway, but the second horse, Delvino, won at Down Royal during the week. So the form is already working out. And if anybody is thinking about, do you know what I was going to say there? Do you know what I was actually going to say? Which
is anyone thinking actually, about going to Down Patrick?
I was going to say, I had my big spiel. I was like, if anybody's thinking about going to Down Patrick, go on Sunday because Richard Little, the manager there, does a terrific job. They're going to get a massive crowd. And then I realised it's behind closed doors.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
I've got this programme called The News. If you watch it, DJ, it keeps you going with what's happening. And yeah, you may not have heard, but yeah, no one can go racing. Can you get in with your press badge or not, DJ?
Can, yeah. One Racing Post employee, yeah.
Excellent. Okay, then, boys, right then. It doesn't seem possible. It was only a week ago that we were still enjoying the fantastic last day of the Cheltenham Festival, does it? It really was an absolute belting week, and it's thrown up a lot of clues. In the Racing Post this week, our experts had their say on who they would bet on now if they had to on the 2021 Festival. And let's face it, anti-post betting on Cheltenham is a year-round thing. So what I want from you two guys is one hurdler and one chase that you think is overpriced for the 2021 Cheltenham Festival. Which of you looks least unsure? I'm going to go for you first, James. Give us your hurdler.
I think I was chatting to Niall O'Reilly today about some of these things, and I think Third Time Lucky is slightly interesting. Now,
Thunder Stolen.
Yeah. Going to put him up for the Supreme, but again, we were kind of chatting, you know, he could end up being a county hurdle horse, but like he's 25-1 with us for the Supreme, slightly interesting. Again, 33 is there with a bit of opposition if we're, you know, but he just kind of caught the eye. I just find him very interesting. From a chasing point of view, we'll kind of be looking at the Champion Chase and Jacques and Persuas. Like he's 6-1 now with us. Even though he didn't run, I kind of think his reputation was nearly enhanced by the fact of Defy disappointing. Altior is going to be a year older. Plutard isn't really going to be there. You know, then it's kind of the novices coming through, put the kettle on. She really probably won't be good enough. Like he could just be a star in the making next year and nothing could really get on his tails. You could see him going off very, very short for this come this time next year. And I'll bet if he's able to, you know, that injury is such a, it's such a small thing at the end of the day. It's like having a boil on your back and you're bursting it and then 2 days later you're completely fine. Like it's just one of those things. But yeah, I think he's just going to be a star. And 6-1, I think he's definitely the way I'd be looking from a chasing point of view.
DJ?
Bruce, I would say I've watched every single race at the Cheltenham Festival. Like, you're going to think this is exaggeration. I've definitely watched them more than 10 times each because there's literally nothing to do. I'm watching a couple of Netflix series, obviously working, but it's always on in the background. Even now, it's on in the background here. So I have seen every race. I'm just going to give you my biggest eye-catcher from Cheltenham first. It's not a race. Obviously, it can't be backed in the market next year. But in the Boodles, right, I've watched every race. And to me, this was the biggest eye-catcher that's not been mentioned by anybody. A horse called Langer Dan, trained by Dan Skelton. It finished sixth in the Boodles. And if anybody gets a chance, this is obviously going to be spoiling the price for when it does reappear, but sure, that's not going to be for ages. But if anybody gets a chance, just have a look at the Boodles again. Obviously, my main fancy for the festival was in Aramax, but Langer Dan, right, was on the inside, and about 4 or 5 times at various stages, he had his path cut off, and he was beaten about half a length for third. And to me, I would have thought he would have been a close second to Aramax had he not got in so much trouble. And I think on a flat track, 2 miles, I think he's well handicapped off a mark of 136. So Langer Dan is really interesting. As regard next year, I still think Mr. Fisher is a shell of a horse. I thought he ran really well in the marsh. Watch the race again. I didn't fancy him in the race that day. I fancied Itchy Feet. But I thought he ran really well. And to me, he's a horse that's just going to keep progressing because he's going to fill out into his frame. So for me, him next year in the Ryanair Chase is going to be interesting because he's going to be a different horse next year compared to this year. He's growing all the time. And finally, in the Gold Cup, I put it up in the newspaper last week. I thought the 33-1 about top of the game for the Gold Cup was ridiculous with Paddy Power. A few of us have backed that. I just think the form with Santini and Delta Work obviously stands up now, given how Santini ran the Gold Cup. He had that horrible thing, my worst phrase in racing, he had a leg this year. So I think next year they don't think it's that big of a problem. I think you'll see the real top of the game. I think he could come out and win the Ladbrokes Trophy, and I think come next spring he's going to be a real leading contender for the Gold Cup.
Okay, I'm going to give you Gosh, and I think it's still available 8-1 for the Champion Hurdle. I just think that looks obvious. I think he's an absolute superstar. And what did you make, if you've watched it 10 times, DJ, what did you make of Easy's Land in the cross country? Because if he doesn't run, then everyone says Tiger Roll's, you know, destroyed them again in the cross country. Fantastic. But Easy's Land has powered away from Tiger Roll. There's only about 3 lengths between them at that final. I barely call it a fence. It was a sort of series of plants. And he's absolutely powered clear. Tom put him up at 40s for the Gold Cup, Tom Siegel. Can you see that?
I can. Yeah, I definitely can. Like, I think he's, I think we're lulled into this false sense that it's only the cross country, it's only this. Like, Tiger Roll is still a very good horse, and yes, he got tired, but he still hammered the rest of them. And like, they went a proper lick in that race. They're well spread out turning for home. And I always use Argenta Gruguin to judge these races, and he was hammered. And he's like, Argenta Gruguin would have won every cross country chase a decade ago. And that's how I kind of judge these cross country races. And I thought it was a phenomenal performance. Whether he'll win a Gold Cup, I don't know. But like, he just strikes you as the type that's just going to get better and better. And if he's allowed to go down the grade one route, he's going to be really interesting. But I just fear they're going to say to themselves, right, that's one winner on the board for JP next year, because what's going to beat him in the race next year? And I just fear that he's going to go down that route again.
I'm not sure about that. I tell you what, if any of those other elite chasers had smashed Tiger Roll by 17 lengths off levels, their Gold Cup prospects would have been seriously enhanced. DJ, tell everyone why you're having to sit at home, quite apart from the fact that you love racing, and watching each of these 28 races 10 times coming. You've had a bit of a traumatic post-Cheltenham, haven't you?
It hasn't been traumatic, I suppose that's probably too strong, but I just haven't seen Aoife yet because she's pregnant and she's due in 3 weeks. And it's just, look, it's precautionary. I just could never forgive myself if I had picked up Anton at Cheltenham. I feel great, I've never felt better, but if I had picked up something at Cheltenham and then she's going in to have the baby in a couple of weeks, if she goes early, it's hard enough to give birth, I'd imagine, without having a virus. So I just couldn't forgive myself. So we're FaceTiming and texting and going back to the early days of dating when I tried to woo her.
Okay, I did get a text from Aoife saying she's absolutely delighted. She thinks it's long may it continue. But no, that must be tough for you, DJ. We wish you and Aoife and the little one when he or she comes along all the very best. James's Power Tower in lockdown. Are you all working from home?
Yeah, we're all working from home now. Just keeping the show on the road, really. Getting new content and up. We're able to work away, not a bother. But yeah, no, there was an old drill in the apartment above me there last night, or yeah, during work yesterday, which wasn't the nicest thing in the world. But today, they, yeah, just
I'm not allowed to say that. This is a daytime show.
A drill? What do you mean? It's an electric tool.
Bruce,
isn't it?
Come on.
Listen, chaps, thank you very much indeed for your expertise. It's really good news that we've got something to bet on. Hope everyone stays safe, bet responsibly, and hopefully we will be back next week for another Racing Post postcast.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Getting a road named after you in your hometown, special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games, not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. Begambleaware.org.